ships and took no oil with them. But the wives took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather out to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." I'd like to take my text tonight from verse number 6, and the Bible says, "And at midnight there was a cry made." I'd like to preach tonight on the crisis of the cry. The crisis of the cry. Would you pray and ask the Lord to help me tonight? Father, I stand before you in this congregation tonight, realizing my need for your help, for your anointing tonight, Jesus. Touch me with your power, with your grace, oh God. Send the anointing that makes the difference in this service, I pray, in Jesus' holy name. Help me to preach what you've laid on my heart this afternoon. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The crisis of the cry. Amen. There's been something the Lord seems like just over and over and over again for the last few weeks. Amen. This passage of Scripture has been talking to me, and this theme has been going over in my mind. And I guess it's because of a book that I was reading talking about the rapture. Amen. But I want you to realize something tonight. We are living on the brink of the coming of the Lord. Amen. It seems like over and over in my mind, every time I get up, every time that I'm getting ready to preach, it seems like there's that thought that comes to my mind, this could be the last chance that I ever get to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he could sound the trumpet and this thing could be over before it ever gets done. Amen. He is coming. Amen. That's something that we need to realize tonight. I want you to notice this verse. The Bible said then the kingdom of heaven was likened unto 10 virgins. I know that it says that there were 5 foolish and there was 5 wise, but the fact of the matter is this, they were all virgins. Amen. There was a sense of righteousness about these young ladies. Did you know that? Amen. These young ladies, in a sense, they were righteous young ladies. Amen. They were pure. Amen. They were living unspotted from the world because the Bible said they were virgins. But there was something that separated 5 of them from the other. And the fact was this, the Bible said that there were 5 of them that were foolish. Amen. I'm going to go on with that. But I'll be coming back to that in a second. But I want you to notice something. Amen. The very first thing that I noticed in this passage of Scripture, the Bible says in verse number 5 that while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Amen. Does that not describe to us tonight the attitude and the position of the majority of the church world tonight? Amen. We are sleeping. Amen. We are slumbering. Amen. It seems as if that the devil has come in and rocked the majority of the church world to sleep. They're not even aware. They're not alert to the fact, amen, that the time is coming soon, that he's going to come back and redeem his people back to him. But friend, I want you to know something. Amen. If you are sleeping, you will be unaware of what's going on around you. Amen. You will be unaware of the fact, amen, of the signs. That's the reason I believe there's such an unconcern, amen, in the church about the coming of the Lord, is because there's a majority of people sit sleepy and are asleep in the house of God. They're unaware of what's going on. Oh, they read the newspaper, they hear the news, but it doesn't strike a chord in their heart. Hey, Jesus is coming. And when you look at the news and you look at the things that are happening, you need to realize the fact tonight, amen, that God is picking and to wrap this thing up. It's not going to be very much slower, and the church is going to be out of here. We'll be raptured and go to that and stand before God. But friend, I want you to know something. You need to make sure that you're not in the category. Amen, that are not ready. Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Amen. We have been rocked to sleep in the cradle of prosperity. Amen. We have been rocked to sleep in the cradle of ease and comfort. Amen. We've gotten so comfortable on our padded pews in the church in 1999 that we'd rather sit there than worship. We'd rather sit there than get in. We'd rather sit there. Amen. We listen to the preaching, but it has no effect. You know why? We have been rocked to sleep. Amen. We can get up and preach and preach about you better be ready. You better sell out to God and live a holy, sanctified life for Him, because that's the only ones that are going. Amen. But you sit there, amen, asleep in the comfort of that pew. You sit there asleep in the comfort, amen, of that padded pew, and you don't even realize, amen, that you are missing opportunities to get yourself ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. You have been rocked to sleep. The delay has been so long, amen, that you don't even realize, amen, you've been rocked to sleep, amen, unaware that He is coming. I was listening to a tape from homecoming just the other day. Brother Webb's first message on that Tuesday morning when he preached on the danger of the delay. Friend, I want you to know something. Amen. We're living in dangerous times. We're living in perilous times. Why? Because there are people that though they come to the house of God, amen, though they may be awake physically, they're spiritually asleep. They're unaware of what's going on. They're unaware. Amen. Parents are unaware of what their young people are doing. Instead of correcting them, they're patting them on the back. Instead of telling them, hey, you better be careful where you're going and watch do it. Oh, you don't want to offend little Johnny. You don't want to offend little Susie, so I'll just go and let them go. Oh, man, I want you to know something. Amen. You better be careful. Amen. You're allowing the enemy to rock you asleep in a time that is the most critical. If we've ever lived in a critical hour, it is this hour. Why? Because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Amen. The condition of the church world is the same as this, as these 10 virgins. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. No burden for the lost. No concern about those that are slipping off in eternity. Oh, we read the newspaper and when we hear what's happening, we hear about school shootings, or when we hear about a nut that walks into a shopping mall and tries to shoot somebody and then takes his life. Oh, we get scared, but we don't get scared enough and concerned enough to realize, hey, this is just a sign of the time that we're living in. If we're not careful, amen, we will be rocked to sleep. Why is it seems like we no longer have a hatred to sin? I'll tell you why. We've grown so accustomed, amen, we've grown so desensitized to the awfulness of sin. Amen. Friend, I want you to know something. Amen. Sin is evil. Amen. Sin will send you to hell. Amen. It is enmity against God to be called in mighty. Friend, I want you to know something. If you don't have a hatred for sin, you need to pinch yourself and say, hey, it's time to wake up a little bit. Amen. Because it's sin that will keep you out of heaven. You get so callous to it and so desensitized to it, it won't be very long. It'll creep into your own house and you will not even care that it's there. Why? You have been rocked to sleep. Amen. They all slumbered and slept. But the Bible says in at midnight. Doesn't that just sound like, I don't know, when I think about midnight, I think about, oh, the blackness of it. The lateness of the hour. Amen. When you read about midnight in the Bible, Brother Randy, it's almost like it's saying at the very end of things. It's almost like at the latest hour that it could possibly be at. Amen. I'm reminded of the little story, amen, about that I've heard several preachers use about the little boy with his dad that was looking at the big clock as it began to sound out the times, and he counted them all the way through until it hit 13. He said, oh, Daddy, it's later than it's ever been. Friend, I want you to know something. Isn't that so true today? Amen. It is later than it's ever been. Amen. You look at midnight. Amen. Many bad things can happen at midnight. Amen. It's in the darkness of the night. You know why, though, so many evil things happen at nighttime? It's because men love darkness rather than light. Amen. Friend, I want you to know something. When you think about midnight, amen, I believe that cry was being made at the darkest hour it could ever been made at. I believe it was being called at the latest hour. And friend, if that is not the condition for the coming of the Lord, it's later than it's ever been. Who would ever thought 50 years ago He would have tarried His coming this long? Who would ever thought 30 and 25? Who would ever thought, amen, 10 years ago we'd be standing at the brink, amen, of the new millennium? Friend, I want you to know something. It's later than it's ever
ever been. Amen. And don't find yourself like these virgins did. They were asleep at the midnight hour. If there's ever a time to be up and busy about the Master's work, it's now. Amen. This is not a time to be lazy. This is not a time to take a back seat and say, oh, we'll let the young folks do it. Friend, it's not a time to be that way. It's not a time to push it off on everybody else. But if there's ever a time that we need to be busy about the Master's work, it is today. Why? Because it's late. Amen. It's growing so late. Oh, help me, Lord. Amen. It is late. Amen. This is where we're at. Did you realize, have you ever stopped to think, hey, we are living at the midnight hour? Amen. We are made, we probably will be, I believe that we are. We are the generation that will see the coming of the Lord. Why? Friend, it is late. Look at the signs. Look at the times. Look at the things that's happening. Look at the sin that does abound, that where sin does abound. Amen. His grace does much more abound. Friend, I want you to know something. It's time to wake up. It is time to wake up. Oh, God. Amen. But the Bible says, there was a cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go yet to meet him. Then the Bible said, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, oh, God, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. That's the crisis of the cry. Amen. That is the crisis of the cry. You know what's going to happen on that day? When Jesus comes back, there's going to be a lot of folks that had a form of godliness but denied the power thereof, that's going to look around and say, I thought I was right. I went to church. Amen. I even sung in the choir. Amen. I had a form of godliness. Hey, I even measured up to the dress code. Hey, amen. I even done what Brother Collins said to do as far as the way I look and the way. But friend, I want you to notice something. Hey, amen. There was something that these virgins forgot about. Hey, amen. They only brought what they thought, the least amount they thought they needed. You know what their attitude was? Amen. This was the attitude. I call it the foolish virgin syndrome. Amen. This was the problem. Amen. They thought they could just slide by. Amen. They thought they could just slide by just by the skin of their teeth. I'm not going to do more than what I think I have to, but I'm not going to do. Amen. I'm not going to go all the way. Friend, there is a multitude, a mass multitude that sits in holiness Pentecostal churches that say, oh, I'm just going to do just enough. Amen. Do you think I can still do this and be right? Do you think I can go there and still be right? Friend, I want you to know something. Amen. You need to be like the wise virgins, amen, that sold out and said, I'm going to take more than enough than I need to get to so I can be ready when he comes. Amen. There's a lot of folks that sit in the church, amen, just trying to get by. Friend, I want you to know something. Amen. If you're one of those people, oh God, if you're one of those people, amen, that say, I know Brother Collins preaches this, and worse yet, I know that the Bible says it, amen, but I don't see a need for it. You're one of those foolish virgins, amen, that don't have enough oil to make it inside the gate. Do you realize how serious this is? Oh, you don't understand, Brother Dennis. It's just a little trim. It's just a little dead ends. It's just that I want you to know something. Amen. The Bible says it's wrong. The Bible says, oh God, help me right here. You know what the Bible says. You've heard it preached more than I have probably. Amen. What the Bible says about the things of holiness and about the things of sanctification. But if you're of the attitude that says, oh, you really don't have to live that way. Oh, you really don't have to be an old fogey like those people at the highway are. Friend, I want you to know something. You're going to be find yourself in the same place that those foolish virgins did. They found themselves on the outside looking in with no hope of ever being called back. And friend, I want you to know something. You better sell out to God and live a holy, sanctified life. You better get everything in right with God, or else you'll find yourself in a position you don't care to be in. Oh God, just trying to go just slide by. Amen. The attitude of a lot of young people. Amen. I've heard stories Heard a story about this young lady growing up back at Granite City. Amen. She walked out of the house, and that was when it was in style to wear the, you know, in, I guess in the 60s or whatever it was, when the real high mini skirts, that was the style. Amen. Her mom and dad, sanctified people, wouldn't let her dress like that. So all the way to school, one block at a time, she rolled up one more time, amen, to get that skirt. You know why? Amen. She didn't want her mom and dad to know that she wasn't living what they was teaching her. Amen. You know what? It doesn't matter how spiritual you act in the house of God. It doesn't matter how pretty you may sing when you get up here on the pulpit. Amen. And you sing in the choir, or you sing a special, or you do anything in the house of God. It doesn't matter how spiritual and how much you may shout. But friend, if you aren't living it in your heart, if it is not a heartfelt conviction, amen, if it's not something that you settled in your soul and said, I would rather die, amen, than do that thing. Friend, I want you to know something. You're going to find yourself in the same sorry state that those 10 or those 5 foolish virgins did, because you were just trying to slide by. Well, the scariest verse in the Bible, what is it? Amen. The scariest verse in the Bible is this. Amen. Judgment must begin at the house of God. And what shall the end be then? Goes on to say, amen, if the righteous are scarcely saved, amen, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Is that how it says? Amen. Scariest verse in the Bible. We know what the end is going to be of the unrighteous. Amen. Corinthians told us that know ye not the unrighteous and not inherit the kingdom of God. And then it goes and catalogs a list of things. Amen. But I want you to know something. Amen. We know what the end of the righteous is. Amen. But Peter said it this way. If the righteous are scarcely saved, amen, if they're doing all they know to do and living the best they know how, and they're scarcely saved, it makes me wonder, Brother Ray, amen, about those that are riding the middle of the fence. Amen. It makes me wonder about those, amen, that are living as close to the world as they can, amen, and still trying to be accepted amongst the holiness folks. It makes me wonder about some preachers, amen, are trying to, amen, they're trying to fellowship with the holiness folks, and boy, they sure don't live it. Friend, I want you to know something. Amen. You know what's going to, you're going to find yourself at? Amen. You're going to find yourself in the same sorry say the foolish virgins did. Oh God, the only thing that's gone is those that are living by the book. Boy, that sounds hard, doesn't it? Amen. But that's what Jesus said. Jesus said it. The book says it. Amen. That's how God has ordained it. Amen. Friend, I want you to know something. The crisis of the cry is this. There are those that are going to be saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Amen. We've taken a step further and said, didn't we not cast out devils in thy name? Didn't we do great works in thy name? Amen. But Jesus is going to turn and look and say, depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, the crisis of the cry. Oh, the crisis of the cry. Amen. What is the end result, Brother Dennis? What is the end result? The result is this. Amen. They that were ready went in. Amen. They had no doubt about it. Amen. You know why? They made provision for it. Amen. Long before it ever happened, before they ever left the house. And they said, hey, I don't want any doubt. I don't want there to be a doubt about it. Whenever the call comes, whenever the cry is made, I want to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that there's nothing wrong. Amen. With me, I want to be ready. Friend, why do you live holy? Why do you live separated? I'll tell you why. Amen. Because I want there to be no doubt. Amen. When my number's called, amen, that I will step inside the pearly gates and see the face of the blessed Savior. I want to be ready. Amen. I don't want there to be any doubt. I don't want there to be any blemish. I don't want there to be any spot. Why? Because it's a serious thing to be found on the outside looking in. Oh God, it is a serious thing. It is a serious thing. Do you realize how serious this is? Well, if the rapture does come and I'm not ready, I'll just live right through the tribulation and then I'll get saved. Yeah, I've heard that. I had some folks in my family get together talking like that. Amen. But I read a verse over in the book of Thessalonians that says he'd send a strong delusionment. Amen. Something to that effect. Amen. Friend, I want you to know something. You're not guaranteed a second chance after Jesus comes. Amen. I'm not going to stand it because, really, to be honest with you, amen, I've been here for a while, but I don't know. I'm not for sure, quite for sure, on how Brother Collins teaches me. So I'm just going to say this. Amen. You are not guaranteed a second chance. I wouldn't want my opportunity. Why do you think that after God has given us this opportunity of grace to be right, does he have to give another opportunity? Oh, I'm in trouble. I can tell it right now. I want you to know something. I want you to know something. Life, only one life. So soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, I want you to know something. You can attain all the riches of this world and build you a mighty empire. Amen. But if God's not first in your life, amen, it is all in vain and it will vanish away. It will be burnt with all the other works of incorruptible things. Friend, I want you to know something. We are living in a serious, serious hour. When I think of what's going to be required at my hand, when I stand before God, God's going to open the books and I'm going to stand before Him. Remember the play. I want to stand before Him. I want to hear well done. Why are you spending your life doing what you're doing? That I may hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful. The devil will offer. He will offer an opportunity, a moment of fleeting passion. Turn your back on it. Turn your back on it. That has nothing. One day you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account for what you did.
Well, tonight, wouldn't you? Wouldn't it be good to know that you could do something, that God could look down upon you and say, that's my child. He's a vessel. Wouldn't it be good to know that you led a lost soul to Christ? Brother Collins, we go down on the streets in Richmond, Kentucky, and God's blessed us in a special way with a street ministry. And last night, all year long, you hear Y2K, that's all you hear. The electric was going to shut down. All these troops were sent in from the National Guard down there at the Richmond Depot, and they was looking for everything in the world to happen except Christ coming back.
That's right.
And as we begin to stand on the streets and begin to pass out tracts and begin to witness unto the lost people, I begin to feel the sweet presence of the Holy Ghost come down and just begin to minister unto the people down there on the streets. And what a blessing hour we're living in when God still loves us and our lost children are out there. And I might not be a parent, but I know no doubt you have children that are lost out in sin, and you've prayed many a prayers for them. But I'd like to encourage you praying parents that your prayers are reaching heaven. Because God is still reaching down His hand of mercy upon lost sinners. I'd just like to encourage you by that. Let you know that to keep on praying. I was once out in sin and I was far down the road of sin and on my way to a devil's hell. But my praying mother sent up those prayers for me. And by the mercies of God and His precious grace, He saved me. Sanctified me and filled me with the Holy Ghost. And He gave me a desire to serve Him. Not just a want to, but more than a want to, a zeal, Brother Mike. He put something in my heart that made me hunger after lost souls. I want to see lost souls saved in this day and hour that we're living in. Don't you? Don't you want to see God pour out His Spirit upon all flesh like He said He would? Don't you want to see Him bring your children into the house of God? Because I know when I get older, if the Lord tarries and lets me allow me to have children, I want to see my children saved. I want to bring them up in a way that they know the word. 19th chapter of the first book of Kings, 11th verse. The Bible says, and He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. It was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" If I would say anything tonight, I'd like to just ask us a question. Remember when the fire fell? Remember when the fire fell? We read about the man Elijah, and he was a great man. And we find this passage of scriptures here in the 19th chapter of the first book of Kings, where he had just fled from Jezebel after he had slain the 450 prophets of Baal. And how he was not only in God's will, but yet he feared this woman named Jezebel. He feared her, and he ran to the caves to hide. And the Bible says that there was an earthquake and a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Can you remember in your lifetime when the fire fell? Can you remember that time that the Holy Ghost led you down to an altar of repentance, that you knelt down before the humble Savior and you begin to cry out and seek God and begin to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and that precious unforgettable experience happened in your life when He come down and shed His precious blood in your very soul, that you begin to think about things in a different light. You begin to see your life and where the devil had took you, and you begin to think of what the blessingness of God can do for your life. Remember when that fire fell? Do you remember the stories of the old time when the grandmas and the grandpas of God would tell you the stories about shouting in the house of God and shouting out of the house of God when there was revival, when the Holy Ghost was being given to the seekers on the altar, when people outside of the church house would come in because of the Spirit and the sound of the Holy Ghost would draw them into the house of God? We might not go through the exact same experience in this day and hour that we live in, but I'd like to tell somebody tonight that the fire fell one time and it can fall again. We can have revival in this day and hour that we live in. We don't have to sell out on the world. We can live sanctified by the mercies of God, and we can have that fire fall again. Brother Collins, I'm convinced if Christ will deal with a man's heart on death row in a prison cell, if He will come down to the bars and take a drunk man, a prostitute, He can take a sinner man, and He don't have to be in the house of God. No, He'll go right to where He's at. I've seen it many times. He'll go right down to where you're at. He'll get down on your level because He cares for you. Remember when the fire fell? Remember when you first got saved? Remember the Lord beginning to deal with your heart about certain things, and you struggled. You was wishy-washy. You didn't have no victory in your walk with God, but you began to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and He said, "You shall be filled." You begin to want the things of God, and He come by in a blessed way, and He helped you, and He give you victory. That same power, it's kindled today. We can have it. I am convinced in this day and hour that we live in, the world, they want to preach a doctrine, and I know that I've heard it preached. I've heard it preached in many churches that I go to, that there's going to be an end-time revival. I believe there might be one for the world. There might be one for the worldly churches out here, but we can have an end-time revival in our souls. We can have the stirring up of the Holy Ghost in our souls. We don't have to grow cold in the Lord. We can have victory in God. Your children can get saved because there was a time when the fire fell. You don't have to sell out. You don't have to quit praying. You don't have to quit seeking God, because the fire can fall in your life. Brother Collins, God knows my heart. I didn't come up here to preach. I come up here to fellowship with you guys because I love holiness. I love holiness, people. I love the holiness of God. It's not by works that any man should boast, but it's by grace through faith that we are saved. We can look holiness. We can walk holiness. We can put the sign out on the door. But unless you got the love of Christ in your heart, unless you've been born again, unless your sins is washed
washed by the blood unless you have a change. All righteousness is filthy rags. Don't you want the fire shut up in your bones like Jeremiah the prophet said? Don't you feel like that you are a light? Christ said that you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Don't you know that people are watching your life? Don't you know that you might be the only gospel that somebody might ever see or hear? Don't you know that the sinner man is watching your life? We can have fire and stand there. I'm convinced that God is not going to withhold no good thing for those who walk up right before Him. He loves us unconditionally. He's going to help us. He said He would save thy house in the book of Acts 16 and 31. Your children don't have to die lost. He did not die on the cross of Calvary in vain. He did not die for us to lose out, to not have victory, to not go all the way. He died for us to die, that we could go to heaven, that we can have power in our lives. God bless His holy name. I love Him tonight. Just to tell you a little bit about my life. I bring up my testimony a lot, Brother Collins, not to glory in my past, but to let the world know what God can do with a man. I used to be a drug addict, a drug dealer, an alcoholic. I fulfilled all the things out in the world, the fleshly lusts. I was lost on my way to a devil's hell. I was in everything that I could get my hands into. There wasn't nothing that I was scared to do. I'd fight three or four because the devil was trying to take me out lost. He had his hands upon my soul. And I look back, Brother Collins, and I think about that fire that shut up in my bones that night that I could not understand. I didn't know how to explain it, but it led me to that church. It led me to that altar. It began to deal with me. It began to talk to me. It began to lead me. It began to talk to me. And I'm so glad that I found it. The blessedness of God. I can't understand it all. I don't claim to, but there's something about the blood of Jesus that can take an old wretched sinner man like me, the one I used to be, and save him, sanctify him, put him in a pulpit, trying to preach the gospel. There's something about the blood tonight that He can do that for you. He can fix your problems. He knows how to send the fire down again. I love Him tonight. Don't you love Him? Don't you want to see fire right here at the highway? A fire that they once talked about. You see God when He talked to Elijah in a still small voice. Don't you hear that still small voice today? It's the same still small voice that began to tell you that sin was sin and that you got to be separate from the world and come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you unto myself. Saith the Lord, it was the same voice that led you down to the altar of prayer to seek for the baptism. And if you don't have it, the fire can fall in your life. Rebecca, I love Him. I don't claim to be nothing that I'm not. But I know who I used to be. And I know what He done for me. And if I die lost, which I have no intentions on, I cannot deny the fire that fell in my life. I cannot deny that it's going to take a holy life to go to heaven. It's going to take a righteous walk with God to go to heaven. It ain't nothing by what we do, but it's what we do through Him. We can look holy, we can walk it, we can talk it, but unless you got it on the inside, it's not going to stand. I can go and put fruit on a tree, and it might look like a fruit tree, but the wind's going to blow, and the fruit's going to fall off. But if it grows on the tree, if it grows from its very origin, it will last. I'm so glad of holiness tonight that a man like I used to be can stand up in a pulpit and just tell you the grace of God.
of God. It's not nothing I've done. I don't understand why He chose me. I don't understand why He looked down upon me. Many a times I've packed guns and pistols, and many a times I've almost lost my life. Many be the times I've almost ended up in a jail cell. Many almost lost my life, lost and undone in the world of sin. And God had mercy on me. I run from Him time and time again. But He said, I'm going to send the fire to Him. And I'd like to encourage you tonight. Don't give up. Whatever your situation is, because there was a time. Remember back. Just set on your mind the things that used to happen. The things that no doubt happened in your life. You see one struggling. They might have a struggling or a struggle in their life. But remember when the fire fell for them. Remember when they had victory. Remember when there was a time that you did not have the victory. But all that fire fell in your life. He cleaned us up. He don't want us to go to hell. He loves us unconditional. He wants you and I to sell out to Him. I remember a story in the book of the book of Acts, I believe, 5th chapter, about a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira. And we all know the story, how he kept a part back. I believe when we look down upon the sin in our lives, that God's saying, you're holding that part back. Remember the story about Agag and how that he was slain, or that Samuel, I believe, slain him and hewed him into pieces. Remember when they come to him, Brother Mike, and he said that surely the bitterness of death has passed. I wonder if sin, when God tries to destroy the sin in our lives, if that sin does not speak out, surely the bitterness of condemnation has passed. Surely the sin that you're living in, you can still do that. It's hard to do that. But my Bible teaches me, no, that there's a fire that will fall in your life that'll clean you up. It'll sanctify you. It'll teach you right from wrong. Children, you don't have to die lost. Your family does not have to die lost. Young people, God is bringing up a church in our generation that He wants to use. He's calling young men, sanctifying them, putting them behind pianos, behind guitars, behind the microphones, using their talents that He's given them for the glory of God. There's fire that can fall. And I'm so glad that I'm experiencing a little bit of it. God, I don't understand it, but God's been so good to me. He's been so good to me. I don't know the Bible like I should, and probably never will. I look at these brothers and sisters in the house of God, and I wonder in my life, will I ever see the things that no doubt you guys have seen? I wonder if I'll ever be able to experience the blessings of God like they once used to experience, Brother Mike. I wonder how God is going to use me in my life. But I'm convinced I can have the fire. And I'm not gonna give up for nothing less. I can have it. You can have it. We can have it tonight. We can have a walk with God that we can stand in our workplaces and on our streets down in America, and we can say that we are children of God just by our appearance, just by our life, just by the glory of God shining on us. We can have that. Remember when the fire fell. Collins, I didn't hang coming up here and preaching this last thing on my heart. We can have the fire. I'm a young minister. I've only been preaching about 6 months. I've had my good times and I've had my bad. But I've never had one bad time in the Lord. Because you know what? If He don't meet me here, He'll meet me back there on the pew. And if He don't meet me here, Brother Collins, and He don't meet me on the pew, in my closet at home, He'll meet me there. And no matter where I go, it don't matter, He'll meet me there. He's got some fire for us tonight. It wasn't in the fire of the earthquake. It was in the still, small voice. But He sent the fire. I love each and every one of you. Let's go to heaven. Let's take somebody with us. I want to be a laborer for the Lord. I got a journal for Christmas. And I don't know how you feel about that, but I began to write my New Year's journal last night after I come home from the street. And as I begin to put my entry down, Brother Mike, I begin to talk about my day, my New Year's day. And I saw, I don't know about up here, but down in my heart, Kentucky, that's all we heard about was Y2K. Y2K, I about got sick of it. But I opened up my Bible, and I heard a little old saint of God stand up in my church. And I wrote this down in my journal, the first thing. She said, I don't know about this Y2K thing, about the year 2000, but she said, we need to yield to the King. And I wrote that down in my journal. Put a big Y, and I put yield to the King. Lord, you want to win somebody's soul this year. On the streets last night in Richmond, Kentucky, I began to cry out to the lost as they walked by. Wanting everything but God. Have a fear of everything and man, but not of God. They don't want the things of God. And as I begin to sit there and watch them go by and end up tracks, I begin to say, won't you give your heart to Christ this New Year's? Won't you let Him show you where He can take you? Won't you let Him clean your life up? You're looking for love in all the wrong places. There's no joy down there. I've been down there. I know what it's like. But He will save you and He will give you the joy. This is the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Brother Collins, I don't mean to be long. Y'all, pray for us that God will send fire to the Berea Gospel Tabernacle Holiness Church in Berea, Kentucky. We need the fire. I remember the stories when it used to fall. And I want it to fall today. If y'all would like to come and pray around this altar, I love each and every one of you. I love each and every one of you. That's the fire.